going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI. WEEI.
Here's the commissioner with the Patriots pick.
With the fourth pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Will Campbell, tackle, LSU.
Good Sunday to you. What's up? It's KJ. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday here. 617-779-7937. That's how you get into WEEI. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get into the Shedeur Sanders and the draft situation that really had people watching into the fifth round that had no interest in football other than was Shedeur Sanders going to be taken. That's in 15 minutes. But of course, the big story here, Will Campbell taken fourth. And so, look, it's the safe pick. I don't think it's the wrong pick, but I'll tell you this. I cannot wait for the buck breaking of Will Campbell to happen here in New England in practice. Let me tell you, it's what needs to happen. Think about this on the Patriots. Outside of Drake May, just on the offensive side of the ball, we're not going to go through the whole, because I'm going to tell you right now, and Zach Coe, thank you so much for being here. The great thing about when the draft is over is all the damn football nerds go home. Like, come on, you did not know anything about that guy from Central Missouri State until it was draft season. Like, everybody went, it's like a bad Pokemon convention with some of these draft experts. But I'll tell you how I predicted, and I think, Zach, you were here, when I said that Shedeur Sanders would end up with the Cleveland Browns. That's in 15 minutes. But Will Campbell, the buck breaking, I wish camp could start tomorrow. Now, this is the geek in me about football. I cannot wait for camp to start. You need to haze this guy. I want to see some scraps. I want to see some fights. Because if this guy's going to be protecting Drake May, forget the short arms. I want to know if you're ready. I want to know if you're ready to knuck up. What is squabble up? Is that what Kendrick Lamar? I want to see some squabbling up with Will Campbell on the practice field. No babysitting, none. At least a fight a week, because that's the only thing that's going to tough you up. I know. I probably sounds like KJ. You sound like you're rooting for like a prison yard scene to happen. And damn, that would be kind of fun to watch. Is this team tough? What I was saying was, who actually has an incumbent job on the offensive side of the ball for the Patriots outside of Drake May? Okay. Anybody on the offensive line have an incumbent job?
Mike Onwenu. No.
Okay, yeah, that's on the other side of the world, right? That's like discussing what's going on in Seoul, South Korea, when we've got issues right here in New England. Like, he's on the right side. He's the only guy, and let me tell you, that's not exactly somewhere like, wow. The whole line has to fight for their lives this year. And that's why I want to, and it starts with Will Campbell, right? Because Will Campbell is the guy that, okay, look, you're expected to be there without beating anybody out. But I want to see some action. Call me macabre, what have you. I want to see drama. I don't want to see a bunch of kumbaya for offensive line that pretty much was Ole Swiss cheese last year. No, I want these guys to be so hardened and tough. Almost want to make it feel like Michael Vick is training you. Okay, scratch that. That was wrong. That was dark. But that's what needs to happen. Will Campbell has to be toughened up right away just because there's nobody who's there to challenge the position. And the last thing you want to do is to have some type of feeling of entitlement and then just get your ass knocked as soon as the season starts. When it's the other guy, because that's what they're going to do. Like, Will Campbell is going to be so tested once preseason. This is going to be desire number one. It's the job. It's the job of this team to toughen this guy up. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Full Metal Jacket, and if you've seen it or if you haven't. The movie is really split in two parts brilliantly. And the first part is training camp. And incoming to training camp is a guy who, ironically, kind of is like the size and favors Will Campbell a little bit. It's kind of strange. But he's supposed to be this really tough guy coming in. He's all about the service, all about the Army, until they take it to his ass. And he doesn't even make it out of basic training. Never even gets to war. So look, the tears, that's cool. I understand the emotion. Yeah, trying to get a little, you got a little snippy about your short arms. But bro, what happens when someone's ripping your helmet off in practice? What happens when two defensive guys are jumping on you? This is what's going to make you tough for the NFL. You're probably like, damn, I wouldn't want to be KJ's kid. Am I scaring you, Zach?
You're not, no.
But it makes sense. Look, if the story before the draft that was kind of weird was, so Joe Milton's gone because why again? If we're even having even that little speckle of conversation, things need to get toughened up right away. This is where I think Vrabel does make a lot of sense for the head coach, because at least he goes far enough back to allow for these things to happen. Like, clearly a plastic straw guy probably can give you five paragraphs of why a paper straw is horrible. Old school guy. I totally get it. And this is what this team needs, okay? Now, remember I told you that, like, there's really nobody who has an incumbent job for the Patriots right now? Yeah, round two, Travion Henderson. Hello, Ramondre Stevenson. Let this be a lesson, sir. Just because you signed that paper that put a lot of zeros on it, don't mean that ass can't get replaced. Now, I'm not saying that's what Henderson is coming in to do, but look, this is another area where I'm going to be looking like, boy, I want to see some pushing. I want to see some fisticuffs, not between the running backs. I don't want to see that. But my point being is, damn, at least we're going to have some competition around here before the games start. And I think Henderson is an ideal pick. Ideal. Look, I think going into the draft, you think like, okay, clearly if you can get the offensive tackle first, the left tackle first, do that, and then you would go get the receiver next. But in my mock draft that I put up last week, because I don't do these all day like some people here at the station did, I was like, have we kissed our woman today? Or are we doing drafts again? No kidding. But Travion Henderson fell to the Patriots, and so did Farmer. I'll get to him in a little bit. But I said, this would be ideal for Josh Daniels. A guy can catch the ball out of the backfield and can still carry the ball for you. We're talking about a five-star recruit out of high school going to really NFLU. I mean, let's just call Ohio State what it is. It's NFLU. More so now than even Alabama. Alabama's more kind of like driver's ed U. Okay, I got to stop with the dark stuff today, Zach. I got to stop. But Travion Henderson is ideal to push Ramondre Stevenson. this is what's needed. I thought a running back wouldn't come until maybe like fourth round or something like that, where you would say, okay, Ramondre still is the guy. And here's his, you know, here's his help. Shoot. Travion Henderson start to show some flash after about 3 or 4 weeks in some kind of different roles. And tell me they're like, well, you know what, Ramondre? We like you for short yardage. No, stay over here. Because there were issues. Remember the mystery injury last year that nobody could really explain about Ramondre Stevenson? Like for a couple of weeks, it was like, what? Hey, what's going on? And I'll tell you right now, I will choke slam somebody who brings up Gerard Mayo from this name from this point forward. You can't. You can't. Travion Henderson, I think, is the ultimate steal for the Patriots here in the second round, addressing the running back room. Kyle Williams. Now I envision Kyle Williams to be very much like a Zay Flowers type receiver, a lot of quickness. And now here's the thing. If his hands are better than these fast guys on the team, guess what happens to some of these other fast guys on the team? Special teams. Special teams. Like Kyle Williams has the opportunity to go in there and say, you know what? Why couldn't I be the number three receiver? I mean, look, Demario Douglas has been nice. But as I'm saying here, does anybody have an incumbent job on the offensive side of the ball? Is it really a potential that Kyle Williams could be your three receiver? I mean, nothing. Look, Stephon Diggs is going to have a job, right? You go and pay him the money, he's going to be your number one receiver. Once you get to number two, you go, man, it's probably Douglas. Number three, Jared Wilson, center from Georgia. Well, I guess Cole Strange, there was your backup plan, is backed up. I'm trying to tell you right now, camp this year for the Patriots may be more exciting than WrestleMania's 41 night 1 and 2. There will probably be more action because there's a whole side of the ball that needs to fight for their jobs. There are guys that are still here from last year, and now you have to wonder, are you even going to be here by September? This is what I like what Mike Vrabel is doing. Then you get Craig Woodson in the fourth round. You get some additional depth in the defensive side of the ball as a safety. So, and then Joshua Farmer, who I think got hurt earlier in his college career and then started to flash a little bit again, but Florida State had had issues that who was really looking at tape, you know, and this is the trade that they made with Seattle in the pick to get him. But Josh Farmer is someone that I peg because if you get Williams as your defensive tackle, and now you can start getting more defensive tackles you can rotate in, you can get Keon White off of having to be on the interior. You get Keon White back to the edge. That's what he is. He's an edge guy. So I like what the Patriots have done here. Look, Mr. Irrelevant, Brandon Swinson from LSU, another edge guy. You got a kicker, and I'm gonna be a bit funny here when I say this. I prefer the kickers that probably could play like mid-level international soccer. I don't want the kickers that can't even make like an MLS team. Like you feel like Borgades could probably make an MLS team. Like the kickers that have been through here, they couldn't make an MLS team. So you got a kicker. The only concern I'm wondering, like, okay, look, you did all that kicking in South Florida. He's got some swirling winds here. You know, and then, of course, Marcus Bryant, and then Julian Ashby. Now we're starting to get into bodies. Kobe Miner, Mr. Irrelevant. Look, I give the Patriots an A for the draft. I have zero issues with what Vrabel and Wolf have put together. Less drama, right? I said if there were two areas that would determine the future of Elliott Wolf is what happened in free agency, and that was kind of like, oh boy, and what they did in the draft. Next, how Shedeur Sanders did exactly what I thought was going to happen. But right now, it's time to trend with Zach Coe here on WEEI.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox split yesterday's doubleheader in Cleveland, dropping the first game by a score of 5-4 while winning the second 7-3. Story of the day, though, was Jarren Duran's straight steal of home. He became the first Red Sox base runner to have a straight steal of home since Jacoby Ellsbury did on the exact same day in 2009. They'll wrap up that three-game set this afternoon. Brian Baio taking the mound for his second start of the 2025 season, opposite Logan Allen for Cleveland. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Coverage starts at 12:40 with Dan Ball on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Cooper Boardman will have the call of the game. First pitch at 1:40. 2025 NFL Draft wrapping up yesterday with the Patriots making five selections in rounds 5-7. They picked edge rusher Braden Swinson, kicker Andres Borgales, tackle Marcus Bryant, long snapper Julian Ashby, and corner Kobe Miner. Celtics looking to bounce back from Friday's Game 3 loss and take a stranglehold on their first round series with the Magic tonight. They're listing Jaylen Brown as questionable with a knee injury and have already ruled out Jrue Holiday with a right hamstring strain. Game 4 tip-off from the Kia Center set for 7. Elsewhere in the NBA playoffs, Cleveland took a 3-0 lead over the Heat. The Thunder swept their first round series with the Grizzlies. And Aaron Gordon buzzer beater evened up the series between the Nuggets and Clippers, and the Warriors took a 2-1 series lead over Houston. Over in the NHL playoffs, the Lightning beat the Panthers 5-1 to cut the Panthers series lead in half 2-1. Golden Knights got an OT winner in Minnesota to even up their series with the Wild. Ottawa avoided a sweep with an OT winner over the Maple Leafs, and Colorado evened up their series with Dallas with a 4-0 win at home. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ Carson coming up after this.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI. WEEI.
And I think that this is the NFL starting to take a stand with all the changes that we are seeing in the climate of college football. These kids, they have a lot of power, and especially a kid like Shedeur, whose father happens to be Deion Primetime Sanders, kids hold all of the control and all the power when it comes to college football. Whenever that starts to transcend and work its way and leak and creep into the NFL, that's when the owners are going to put their foot down. That's when the league is going to put its foot down and say, enough is enough. And I think this is the perfect example of it. And unfortunately, it does have to be Shedeur.
KJ here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Thank you for starting your Sunday here. We'll get to your texts and calls here shortly. That is former Patriot Damian Harris, now on the CBS network, talking about what happened to Shedeur. And I think it's probably the most intelligent bit or quote that we've heard in everything we've heard. I mean, I did not have on my 2025 bingo card Shedeur Sanders being a social lightning rod on the day of the draft. I had no idea it was going to go that way. I heard everything from the reason why he dropped was because he praises the Lord's name. I was like, okay, didn't a guy like get drafted like 30th who they wonder about like his Bible study group? And there were so many different angles of why people thought Shedeur Sanders dropped to the fifth round. And for those who've been listening on Sunday mornings here for the last 3 or 4 weeks, this is why you listen to shows that come on at no time of the day, because that way the other times of the day can steal the information. But I've been saying all along that Cleveland should be the ones taking Shedeur Sanders. Where I was wrong, it was just 2x72 at 144. But the point that I was saying about why Cleveland should take it was, one, pay attention to teams that sign quarterbacks to one-year deals. How do I know this? Because remember, Jacoby Brissett was signed to a one-year deal. And I've always said about quarterbacks that are signed to a one-year deal is there's no plan for them to be there after this year. None. Not at all. There's no option, nothing. In fact, they're probably not even going to be your starting quarterback the last game of the year. Okay, that was number one. Number two, the other reason why I said they probably should look at Shedeur Sanders. And this is the one that people were like, I couldn't figure out how people smarter than me couldn't figure this out, was that Cleveland was going to need a cheap potential option at quarterback while still paying out the very expensive Deshaun Watson contract. There's still 2 years left, like $115 million still due to him. And he's got the Achilles situation. And the team pretty much actively doesn't want the guy to play. That's the two biggest reasons why you probably go get Shedeur Sanders. You get him on a rookie deal, you control the contract for 5 years, this, that, and the third. But then the draft happened. Boy, first I will say, because this is kind of overall talk about, we're really going to talk about like Travis Hunter, and then I'll get to Shedeur Sanders really quick. Well, Travis Hunter really quick. Is Travis Hunter was able to find a team that made his that met his demands. So here, it's not talked about as much, but he was like, hey, I want to play both sides of the ball. Like, who dictates to a team that way? Now, I think he's probably only going to end up with probably a 5-year quality career. Why? Because if he's playing both sides of the ball in an outdoor stadium in Florida, coach, I need a breath. Get the hell back out there, Hunter, and return kicks. See, because be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. Dome team, that makes much more sense. Cooler weather team makes much more sense. Zach, I wonder, does Travis Hunter stand out there when there's a fumble on the offensive side of the ball? He fumbles the ball. He's got to get back up and now defend. Guess who I'm throwing at right away? It's not going to work out. Look, I know we want to be superheroes and there's a marketing thing to it, but Jacksonville is going to play him like a fiddle. I'm sorry to see it, but he got what he asked for. Now with Shedeur. Shedeur really broke rule number one of the NFL, and it's a biblical rule. It's thou shall not have no idols before me. You can't be bigger than the league coming into the league. For those of us who are of a certain age and do remember the draft that Deion Sanders was taken in, a lot of the same noise was being said about him with the jewelry and the they used to use the word, and his posse. It's close to rap music. The jewelry. Is he serious about football because he still says he wants to play baseball? I still say one of the greatest baseball plays I've ever seen take place on a Major League Baseball diamond in my life involves Deion Sanders. But all these things were saying about it because Deion was coming off as his own idol. And that was the same problem with Shedeur. See, Shedeur has a different intellect that presents as an idol. The idol before the idol determines who worships you. So Shedeur wouldn't need a team for him to earn his marketing dollars. I mean, hell, what Brock Purdy is just now going to be able to afford to buy, I don't know, a car made in the 2020s? Shedeur Sanders already has, what, a Bentley? Rolls Royce, something like that? I don't know, one of the two. So he doesn't need a team for him to earn his marketing dollars. He just need any team, like a host. You're like, I don't care. It could be Cleveland. He doesn't care. The only thing that would have upset the NFL and their idol brand is making him a first-round pick and then adding to the Shedeur brand based on him going in the first round. Thou shalt have no idols before me. If you want another example of it, and I'll give it to you in terms of music, of how this kind of idol worship that the NFL expects to have happen, and the public kind of buys into it. So, Zach, give me the music that go along with these packages that I cannot watch on television about these players. Oh, he was... Well, okay, that's the wrong one. The sad music. I need the sad music first to get to the point. Yes, because... Ever since Johnny was 3, he didn't know his daddy, and Mama got sick. Mama, I'm going to throw this football 100 yards for you. Don't be sick. We gonna move off the boulevard. You know, every city has a boulevard. Mama, I love you. I'm gonna make this football thing work for me. I'm gonna go to the NFL. Mama. Did daddy just walk by here? Is that him? Okay, just kill it. You get the point. It's all about, oh my God, this kid is in such bad circumstances. Look how impoverished this. Because you could do, because others can discuss amongst, you know, cheese and crackers, like, oh, did you see that package about the kid whose mama told him to throw the football? And he said he would throw it 100 yards? And that he would go to the NFL and move them off the boulevard? Isn't that spec? Oh, that's so heartwarming. Oh, I think I'm going to watch The Blind Side again tonight. A movie that made, what, $600 million? Based on the super sad situation of the kid who's about to come and be rescued, savior, baptized by the NFL. And then you got someone like Shador. Play the music. Yeah, I got a watch. I got a dad. I got a mom. I got a Bentley. What? What? I got a song. I got an arm. I'm in the league. Check me out. I'm in your face. You don't know me. Okay, you can stop it. You know what? I don't want to discuss it. I can't stand him. He's so cocky. Who does he think he is? With his two-parent home. I mean, hell, his mother was an actress. Now a fitness coach. She's not telling you, probably telling him, hey, you see your dad's missing big toe? That's what football did to him. This is a dark show. Why does it need to be so dark? But my point being is this. How can you get Shador Sanders to fall at the altar of the NFL when his father's already been sacrificed at it? This is why Shador Sanders falls to the fifth round. What Damian Harris said in the cut at the start. Because these NIL guys are getting all this money up front while they're in college and everything like that, the NFL is like, okay, Shador, why do we need to pay you? Clearly, you're not in one of those sad packages. Nobody's going to be like, oh, that's such a moving story, you know. I remember the day that mom had to leave the house and go film the movie Mod Squad. They're like, no, Shador Sanders is from a two-parent home. And yes, parents do get divorced. His parents got divorced. All the kids, they all have the same last names. They live with dad. Dad was towards the end of his career. I think his career was pretty much about over by the time they were born. Stable household. Not gangster. Maybe pretend gangster. But not gangster. They don't live on the border boulevard. They lived on the court. And I mean the court that has like two houses on the entire court. Like, this is my neighbor. We live on this street. That's what Shador is from. So you don't need to put him in the first round to be, because people are like, look how much money he lost. Wait a minute. Shador has never needed for anything financially his entire life. At all. Like, we almost forget that, you know, like, after Deion stopped playing, they cut him checks to be an analyst on television shows. He gets residuals for Must Be the Money and those songs he did with Hammer. Like, his kids have not wanted for anything. But an opportunity is something totally different. Thou shalt have no idols before me. See, because all of that doesn't matter. The Bentleys, the watches, the retired number at Colorado, all the NIL stuff, if he doesn't get the opportunity. This is where the real split was happening between people like, ha, 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 look at him drop, look at him drop. And there were other people like, it doesn't matter how far he drops. This kid is not poor. He knows mama and daddy. He doesn't have the sad music behind his package. I mean, this has happened. Some people may remember Myron Roll, the guy who was like second team All-American as a safety at Florida State. In his interviews, because this is what the conversation was with Shador, so I'm going to give you the other side of it. In his interviews, he expressed that, you know, hey, life after football looks like me being a neurosurgeon. They're like, oh, well, this guy isn't serious about football. Like, okay, wait a minute. You talk about intelligence and passing Wunderlich test and everything. If this guy has the ability to be a neurosurgeon and has been offered to go to Oxford to study for a year, and he's the second, team All-American at safety, which means like he's top five. He went in the fifth round, sixth round, never made it to an NFL field. Really? Because he had an idol before the NFL? Look, it was kind of sad seeing all the polarization that was going on around Shador yesterday. And I had a conversation with one person online, friend of mine. He's out of the Midwest. Because they were part of this celebratory camp, like all that cockiness and everything like that. Again, remember, the kid was already rich. Not, mama, the football man ain't cool. Sorry. I said, is it possible that the league is telling people kind of stay away from this kid for a minute? I didn't say collusion. I never said collusion either. Like, you know, what they say, hurt dog holler. I never said collusion. But if you cannot tell me that there was probably kind of an understanding that there's no point in trying to clash high price salary, high price status with the high price brand in Shador. Right? Because now, as a fifth round pick right now, Shador's got to go in there. When he goes in there, bro, his locker may not even be able to close. I'm saying that just figuratively, just because of that. You know what I mean? When you're a fifth round pick, you're one misholding the clipboard away from getting cut. But you did notice how things kind of got quiet when he was taken by Cleveland, right? Because at some point you're like, okay, is there even going to be a charity case that would help him? Then you started even hearing, you know, like, hey, well, you know, I mean, Tom Brady mentored the guy. Maybe they take him in Vegas. But even Vegas wasn't going to take the brand-to-brand distraction. I totally agree for those who would say that Shador would be a distraction coming to a team, competing for a job when there's an incumbent. I totally agree. And it may not be, and Shador may come stripped down with a basic guest watch. He might even come down with just like, he might just show up with a Samsung, a little Samsung stepometer, whatever it's called. But still, the cameras are going to be there. They're going to ask a lot of questions. It's amazing how, when things have constantly gone wrong with NFL football players, people start pulling out the social maps about the makeup of the family. And, you know, all those guys weren't your uncle. And where's dad? And now here you have literally the situation where the dad is there, is an NFL Hall of Famer. And watch this. Did the same thing that Archie Manning did for Eli Manning. Why is it different? Why is it different? If you're going to say, well, at the end of the day, I don't like Deion's tone, I would ask, who the hell are you? Panasonic? If a person wants to tell it to you the way they want to tell it to you and it's about something that is theirs, they're going to tell it to you the way they're going to tell it to you. Deion has even said in interviews, he would never say out loud to the person or to the people, but he would have that conversation in private. That's the same exact thing. In fact, Zach, you have the cuts of what Archie Manning said about Eli and then play what Deion said. Play that cut.
I will confirm what the Chargers said last night. I will admit I was a little surprised that they went public with that.
Will you be happy if the Chargers end up picking him on Saturday? Happy.
No. No. As far as reasons why, I'm not gonna go there.
I know where I kind of want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't gonna happen. It's gonna be an Eli.
It's gonna be an Eli. So Deion even told you that he is taking his cue from Archie Manning. And here, watch this. What do you think's going to happen next year when Arch Manning becomes available? And Zach, did Quinn Ewers go yesterday?
Yeah, he went in the seventh round to the Dolphins.
Seventh round. Okay, so Quinn Ewers went in the seventh round, and Arch Manning couldn't get him off the field. Next year, there is going. I think New Orleans is in on it, and I think the Giants too. Not about the prank call about to Shador, but there's going to be a tank for Arch Manning. The same Arch Manning who couldn't completely get Quinn Ewers off the field, and Quinn Ewers pretty much went at the end of the movie. So people were like, well, you know, Deion this and Deion that. You just heard Archie Manning's words about Eli days before the draft, and you heard Deion's words leading into the draft. Now, Deion, where he might have made the mistake is certain cities. He's not saying the city's bad. He's talking about organizations. Archie Manning said, no, I don't want my kid going number one. It's another thing. It's like, hey, San Diego wants to take him at seven. Archie Manning literally told the league, the San Diego Chargers, and indirectly, the New York Giants still take my son number one for because Archie was taken number one, so that legacy could still continue. Peyton was taken number one. But Deion does it. Oh, my God. Five alarm blaze. He's in the way. He's interfering. What is this? He wants to be the head coach. Let me tell you something about that idea right there. That is absolutely ridiculous if you believe that Deion is trying to angle to become somebody's head coach. Get him and his kid fired? Now, that's not love. That's disaster. That's like going back and going to get your Jordans off of the Titanic as it's sinking because I paid a lot for those. No, you don't do. If the ship be sinking and your kid's already on it, you don't go run on there and try and save it and kill both of yourselves. So, no, Deion is not trying to angle to be the head coach of wherever his son goes. As I've been saying for weeks, Cleveland always had eyes on taking Shador Sanders. One day people will go back and look at the little signs that showed you that this was a real possibility. I guess we had like the dollar sign and the two as the exponent, but then they traded their second pick. Right? When Cleveland traded out of that second pick, Cleveland must have decided for themselves. Let the narrative about Shador be really, really bad because he's ultimately who we really, really want. You really going to believe that a 5'11 left-handed quarterback who reminds you of Tua, which is already kind of bad in a sense, is going to be your guy? I don't care if he's taken in the third. I'd be like, well, why did you take him there? There's a social term that would explain why you take that quarterback there, but I don't want to get in it because that opens up a whole other can of worms. 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. It's KJ here on WEEI. We continue the talk. We've got Celtics to get to, plus stealing home. That's absolutely amazing. The Red Sox. Hang out, and thanks for spending your Sunday here on WEEI.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI. WEEI.
Turn it up, Zach. KJ Turner's putting a D in WEEI. I'm kidding when I say that. This is WEEI, not WDEI, where everybody eventually is included. 617-779-7937. We'll get to Red Sox shortly, plus the Celtics-Orlando matchup is getting a little too close for comfort. That's coming up at the top of the hour. I got to give a shout out to a person who reached out to me. This is what's absolutely strange, is people will reach out to me after the show. KJ, enjoy the show. Last night, someone contacted me asking me what my real thoughts were about Shador. It was kind of like, what do you think? I'm going to put on a daishiki and go haywire? And I'm gonna tell you what I really think. And, that probably some teams thought that, Shador was going to be this kind of Trojan horse for Deion. My thing would be like, if you're worried about, maybe you just do your job, and don't worry about the outside stuff. I can't worry about like any other stuff when I do my job, even though I do it twice a week. Well, once a week for 2 hours. But one of the guys, Zach, that reached out to me was a few weeks ago. It might have been 3 weeks ago. I'd mentioned this snoring device that I use that I fell in love with, that, like, by using this app, it records you at night, which is kind of spooky when I think about it, because now I'm thinking, like, oh my gosh, what if that what if that app is made in Denzing and gets all my information? But again, I recorded no audio of me snoring at all that night. So the guy was like, hey, KJ, what's the name of that snoring device that you use? Because my wife is about to kill me. This is a true story. But on Instagram, I don't always look to see, like, the messages that are in requests, right? I just go to the pictures, everything, scroll down, be like, okay, why is she at the top of my feed all the time? It's like, because you have some inner desires that the algorithm knows. But then I see it in the messages, and he had sent me two messages over the course of, like, 3 weeks. So I'm like, oh, my God, this guy could be dead. You know, like, I was like, hello, if you're still alive, this is the name of the snoring device. He's like, no, she didn't kill me, but thank you. So shout out to you, my friend, and hopefully everything works out. Now, you might be like, well, KJ, why don't you say the name of the snoring device? That is the difference between a professional and a paid professional.
No free ads.
No freebies. There are no layups with this. You know what? I yank down people who try and come for the layups when it comes to for product mention. You don't get it out of me unless you put it in me pocket. Not directly. Of course, you have to put it in the station's pocket. And then I'll fight with the station, be like, how much they give you? Oh, KJ, they only gave us $27. Meanwhile, they're all having steak dinners sponsored by. Am I giving the inside of this industry? But, sir, I was the one that mentioned them. Please, can I pay my electric bill? Here's $100. Thank you. How long is their schedule? 5 years. They bought for 5 years. Sir, I just want to, it's my wife's birthday, and I'd like to get her a card made of real cardboard. Please, can you spare me a dime? That's why you don't, uh-huh. If your product ain't up here, it ain't coming out of my mouth. Yeah, it's, can I tell the other side of that story? So, I ended up having, like, huge mouth sores a couple weeks ago. Were you on the show with me when I was doing Orgel live on the air?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, you remember that show? Okay, so that show, my face had swollen. I looked like Kanye West in the Through the Wire video. You know what I've deducted the reason why? It moved my teeth and everything. You know what I deducted the reason was why that happened?
The snoring apparatus.
That's right. So now I'm not using it, you know? So, like, that's the other thing there with that. So, all right. Next, we got to get to this Celtics series with Orlando because, yeah, even though it's the proverbial game three that they lost, I have a couple of concerns. We'll discuss that next here on WEEI.